Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Would You Do? NBA Edition Part 4. You got Caleb and we got Matt in the spot. This is NBA What Would You Do? Edition Part 4. I had to say it again for y'all. And you do have Caleb right here. You can find me at Caleb Conant 1. Or no. Yeah. 1 Caleb Conant on Instagram. I'm super tripping right now. And you can find me at Caleb Conant 2 on Twitter. And in my LinkedIn's in my bio, you can find everything else right there. Matt, tell them some more, bro.
Alrighty. My Twitter name is at Skura Matt. You can find me there. You could also find my Instagram at Matt_Skura19. And you guys enjoy the fourth edition where we will be discussing the process, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yep,
and what a season the Philadelphia 76ers had. In my honest opinion, I'd say it's a fall from grace. I mean, we're talking, they were a shot away, one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And here they are this season getting swept by the Boston Celtics in the NBA bubble. And a whole lot has changed in the Philadelphia 76ers offseason. Moving on from a GM in Elton Brand, moving on from their old head coach in Brett Brown, and bringing in new faces. As many of you guys may know, the Philadelphia 76ers have brought in former LA Clippers head coach Doc Rivers to the fold, and they have also brought in former Rockets GM Daryl Morey. So plenty of new faces for the Philadelphia 76ers. I want to bring you this question, Caleb. What are your expectations for the Philadelphia 76ers now that Doc Rivers is a head coach? Do you believe they're still a team that can compete for a championship, or do you believe they're one of those teams where we know they can make the playoffs, but they kind of won't make it far?
Yeah. You know, I think that they're still in their window. That's what I would say. They're in their window of trying to compete, trying to find the pieces right now, trying to see if it can gel together. With Doc Rivers, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the system that he runs. But before we could even get to predicting how he'll run that system, what roles players will have, it starts at the beginning of the offseason with free agency. It starts with the guys that they want to attack in free agency and in the draft, and then in trade time. So it really depends on how they build that team. Doc Rivers, we know, will not have control of that as he did in the Clippers. So it'll be a big difference to see a Sixers team built by Elton Brand and the help of Daryl Morey rather than a Clippers team built by Doc Rivers and coached by Doc Rivers. So it's a whole different situation for Doc. And it's more so we're trying to see, you know, what the team's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is going to be interesting to see how the team looks. And I mean, we look at the Philadelphia 76ers. It's definitely an interesting position because you look at, on paper, they have the talent to compete for a championship. I mean, you have Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons on the same team. That's a solid dynamic duo. That should be a duo that should compete in the Eastern Conference. But we saw last year, or even in 2019-2020 season, it really wasn't gelling. Like it didn't really click. And, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers, they had a lot of regrettable moves. I mean, they didn't retain Jimmy Butler, and they definitely missed Jimmy Butler because you look at Jimmy, he just recently led the Miami Heat to the NBA Finals. So Jimmy Butler was on that 76ers team this season. It could have been a different level of discussion. Yeah. Also, last year's Philadelphia team, they had a bunch of shooters, guys like J.J. Redick who knew their role. Being a solid shooter on the team, they didn't seem to have those shooters. They lacked those shooters. And then on top of that, they made a mistake giving Al Horford that big contract. I don't know why they paid Al Horford that contract. I mean, maybe in hindsight, they thought maybe Joel and Al could kind of coincide with one another, maybe have Al Horford play the four position, which he excelled at in Boston, and then have Joel Embiid kind of be in that center role. But
that, you know, not to disrupt, but Al Horford was that problem for Joel Embiid when they would see the Celtics, you know. Al Horford really guarded Joel Embiid very well. So, I mean, for the Sixers to have with play the cards they were dealt, because at that point in free agency, Jimmy had already left. So Al Horford was the best available guy. So it was like, let him walk to another team and still have that problem for Embiid, or pick him up. So I think they thought of that, like, we're just exiting out this problem for Embiid, because he had the upper hand on defense when it came to Embiid in this show.
Yeah, he definitely did, which is understandable. But also, you have to think, Al Horford's starting to get up there in age. He's starting to get into his mid-30s. So when you and it's not like, I mean, Al Horford's a great player, but the contract that you sign him up for, it was like 4 years, over $100 million contract. You don't give a guy who's in his mid-30s 4 years, $100+ million, unless if he's still contributing. Like, obviously, you give a guy like LeBron James 4 years, over $100+ million, because you know he's going to contribute and do well for your team. There's obviously certain select players that you give that money to, but when it's Al Horford, it's kind of one of those where I don't think the Philadelphia 76ers expected Horford to be this much of a bad fit. Like, he's such a bad fit, you can't even start Al Horford in the lineup with Joel Embiid. Like, how are you going to pay a man $100 million to come off the bench? That's absurd. Like, that's unheard of. So, obviously, and I hope this works. I mean, you look at Doc, he done some good things in Boston. He won a championship there in Boston, went to two NBA finals. He consistently brought the Clippers to the playoffs. Obviously, you know, you hope he would have brought the Clippers to the conference finals, but he consistently had them in the playoffs. And I mean, I guess what's good for Philadelphia is when Tobias Harris was with Doc Rivers, he had the best statistical season of his career. So now that Doc is there, could we potentially see a resurgence in Tobias Harris? I think the Philadelphia 76ers need that. I think the 76ers need that, because you look at, they kind of dwindled down between two decisions. They could have kept Butler or kept Tobias Harris, because if we're being real, 2018-2019 Philadelphia 76ers, they went all in. They put all their chips in for Jimmy Butler. They put all their chips in for Tobias Harris. They had all the shooters around Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. They were the number third seed. That was them going all in to try to win a championship that year. And obviously, you know, Kawhi Leonard hit probably one of the greatest shots in postseason history, where it went off the rim four times and went in, which, you know, it was a tough way to go out. But you thought Philadelphia was a team that was on the rise, on the come up in the Eastern Conference. And it seemed like the Brett Brown era kind of fizzled out in its course. And you also heard Jimmy Butler basically even say himself that the reason why I left Philadelphia was because of Brett Brown was there, because Brett Brown really wasn't that guy. Like, he wasn't that leader. You know, when Jimmy went to Miami, you know, he felt like he had the leader in Spoelstra and Pat Riley to kind of know the way to winning. And you hope that Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey could kind of bring that in to the 76ers, because if you look at, there is no more trust in the process. The process is complete. It's Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. That's it. You have to make this work. You have to make this duo work, because then it's kind of like, what was the process really for? I mean, in 2017, 2018, you could ride with simply say, hey, you know, trust the process. We got a young Embiid, young Ben Simmons, you know, we're on the come up. Now it's kind of like, what is there now? You can't have the excuse of, oh, trust the process. You know, we have Brett Brown, that's why we're being held back. There's no excuses now. And, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers, they disappointed a lot of people last year. A lot of people thought Philadelphia could have made a run to the NBA Finals, and they simply fizzled out. And now they have Doc Rivers in, who's been there and done that as a head coach. They got Daryl Morey, which here is a fact some of you guys may not know. When Daryl Morey was the GM of the Houston Rockets, he orchestrated the most trades out of any GM, I believe, with about 78 trades. So Daryl Morey is a guy who can make a lot of moves.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, which kind of leads me into my next question, Caleb. If you're Daryl Morey, you bring in your new head coach and Doc Rivers, do you run the same team back from this season, or do you potentially trade some pieces? Do you potentially break up the Joel Embiid Ben Simmons duo? Do you potentially find a new trade suitor for Tobias Harris and Al Horford? Or do you just simply, you know, we just call last year a fluke and just run the same team back?
I think, you know, being that they can't really do too much, you know, they can't do too much. They don't have a lot of cap space. Not like they could go out and sign somebody crazy. If anybody they sign, they're going to be role players. I think they'll wait to make that big move. They'll probably test out, you know, Richardson, maybe Harris or Horford, those three guys first on the trade market at the trade deadline. And then next season, they'll evaluate with Ben and Embiid, and then they might run it back one more year after that. And then you might really see something big with Embiid and Simmons. But right now, I think it'll be those three guys at the trade deadline if they are underperforming, you know? It all depends, you know, it all depends how the chips fall. But I think, like I said earlier in the episode, they're still in their window. So they're still going to compete. If they can make that team better, they'll have to see what they can do and see the direction that they want to go. And, you know, being that Daryl Morey, he's not really the GM. It's still Elton Brand. But, you know, he's going to have a lot of influence. I think what that move right there, you know, it's like a wink at James Harden, like, hey, we're here. You know what I'm saying? So I think don't be surprised if Harden some way, somehow ends up in a Philly jersey. I don't know how it'll happen, but it can happen. I think that move was a strategic move by Morey, being that he wanted to step down, and that's what he's doing. He's taking a lesser role at another organization. So just be on the lookout for what that is, because it could turn into something interesting. That leads me into my next question, though. In the draft, they have the 21st pick in the first round. So what would you do with that? Are you trying to trade up? I think maybe you could package that pick with Al Horford and Richardson and maybe send that to Golden State. What would you do? I have some ideas.
That's definitely an interesting take there in the draft. In fact, before I get to the draft, what I think the Philadelphia 76ers should do is I feel like they should just run the same team back with Doc Rivers as the head coach. And what I will say is, if it's the same result with Doc Rivers, if they have the same team, bring it back, and they still finish as a fourth or fifth seed and a first round exit, then you got to find some ways to trade some guys. You have to break up some pieces there, because it wouldn't really work out. Now, if the 76ers can make a deep playoff run, if they could find a way to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or even the NBA Finals next year with this same exact roster, then you could very much keep the team intact and keep the core together as well. But overall, I think as of for right now, you bring the team back, see what Doc is able to do with the stuff that they have. And since you mentioned they have the 21st pick, I do think it's going to be very hard to trade up. I don't think the Warriors accept that trade one bit. I mean, they look at that. I mean, because you got to – are you including that the Warriors will be trading the number two overall pick as well? Or are you just saying that, just give Horford and Richardson the 21st pick to Golden State for some draft capital?
Oh, no, for that number two pick, I'm thinking LaMelo. LaMelo, you got LaMelo, Harris, Simmons, Embiid.
It would definitely. I think it'd be tough. I think Golden State wouldn't budge on that trade. They would kind of look at that trade and kind of laugh at Philadelphia, because you look at, if you're Golden State, why would you accept that trade when you have an aging Al Horford, bad contract? You already have solid power forwards. You already have Draymond Green and Eric Pascal already there.
Then you run Horford at the five, and you got Richardson off the bench.
Well, you do have that, but do you believe that Horford still has it in him to run that five? Maybe it could be a scenario where you could put Draymond Green at the center spot. Maybe you have a small ball center and then have Al Horford run the power forward. It is an interesting take. It is an interesting trade. I will give you that. One thing I would say that is reasonable, if they can trade up, maybe if they trade up in the top 15 percentile, maybe if they trade up from like picks number 15 all the way up, I would say it's reasonable. But number 2 overall pick, I think it's a little far-fetched. I mean, if Golden State thinks that they're perfectly fine with the team that they have, then maybe I'd say go for it. Go for and trade up if you're Philadelphia, go for number 2. But I think Golden State is going to take obviously Golden State is going to be wide open for trade talks at the number 2 overall pick, because you got Steph, Clay, Draymond, and Wiggins. You obviously seem to be set and stone when you're fully healthy. But that number 2 pick.
If I'm Golden State, shit, trade Wiggins in that number 2. Who can that get you? Bradley Beal. Ooh. That was a whole rhyme on a podcast. Y'all don't even get that nowhere else.
That was a fire rhyme right there. Now, if the Warriors somehow get Bradley Beal to pair up with Steph, Clay, and Draymond, they might be the team to beat in the Western Conference. I truly believe that. If that happens, but
I mean, what would you say? What would you do if you're the Wizards and I'm the Warriors? I say Wiggins in the number 2. Give me Bill and Mo Wagner.
Here's what I would say to that. Is there a guarantee that I could get Anthony Edwards? Because if I'm the Washington Wizards, I only make that move if I'm guaranteed to get Anthony Edwards at the number 2 overall pick, because Anthony Edwards would be the perfect replacement for Bradley Beal if you're moving on from Bradley Beal. But I think if you're the Wizards, you might just simply run it back with John Wall and Bradley Beal, because when they were healthy, they made the playoffs. So if you're the Washington Wizards, you know the bottom of the Eastern Conference is trash.
Yeah.
I think if you're the Wizards, you have a healthy John Wall. He looks better. Healthy Bradley Beal. We saw what he did last year. If you're the Washington Wizards, you might give the duo a second chance and kind of see what happens from there. I don't think they'll go in full rebuild just yet. But for Philadelphia side of things, if I had the 21st overall pick for Philadelphia, I would simply take whatever the best shooter is available. Because the one thing that was lacking for the Philadelphia 76ers was their shooting depth. Like, their shooting depth was terrible. They made a mistake letting all their shooters walk, especially J.J. Redick. Them losing J.J. Redick was a big loss to the team, a loss that a lot of people didn't really see coming. Some people thought, like, oh, you know, them losing J.J. Redick is nothing, but J.J. Redick made a huge impact on the Philadelphia 76ers 2 years ago when they made that run against the Toronto Raptors. So I think Philadelphia is going into this draft, and they're probably going to select whoever the best shooter is available at that spot. Now, if they do trade up, I think they could trade up in about the 12 to 15 range and not have to give up a lot. If you want to give up the Al Horford contract, you might have to give up your 21st pick. And because, I mean, you look at Philadelphia, they got 4 second round picks this year. They got the 34th, the 36th, the 49th, and the 58th. If you're trying to get rid of that Al Horford contract and still move up in the draft, you might have to sacrifice your first round pick, the 21st, Al Horford, and at least two of your second round picks this year.
Yeah.
If you want to make a hard, aggressive move to go into the 13-15 slot, that's what I think you'll have to sacrifice. Just because Al Horford's contract is so big and so terrible, no one is going to be open to take the Al Horford contract. Not even the Knicks are going to be willing to take that Al Horford contract.
Maybe the Lakers. Maybe the Lakers.
I don't think the Lakers would do that. I think the Lakers, if the Lakers did that, it would jeopardize their cap space to bring in bench players. Because obviously, if you're the Lakers, which we discussed in the first edition, they would obviously bring back AD. But if you want to bring in other bench pieces, you can't have big filler contracts like right, that. So if I'm Philadelphia, I'd stay put at 21. But if there's a way how I can move up into the draft and I can give up that Al Horford contract doing so, I might be open to be doing that. And I'll ask you that same question, Caleb. I know you made a crazy bold prediction of the Sixers trading up for number 2 with Golden State. But if that doesn't happen and there's a scenario where you could move on from Al Horford's contract and move into the top 15, would you do it?
I would do it on draft night. I'd pull the trigger on draft night. I'd pull the trigger on draft night for sure. I would have to pull the trigger on draft night. I would, just because I would have to see who's the best available, see who they would want to get. And I mean, a playmaking point guard is a need for them. It is a need. So if they can somehow get a playmaking point guard, then yes, I do it. If they could get Cole Anthony, I do it. But if not, just get the best shooter at 21. There is going to be a very good shooter at 21. I can assure you that. And just keep building. And keep building that culture. And then, you know, continue to evaluate. They're still in their window. So I don't think they should, like, go overboard and bet, you know, just play it safe.
And I'll ask you this one thing. If Cassius Winston is available at the 21st overall pick and you're the Philadelphia 76ers, do you take Cassius Winston out of Michigan State, or do you potentially go a different route? Do you potentially go a Nico Mannion out of Arizona? Do you potentially go with what your guy in Cole Anthony? Do you maybe go after a possible Killian Hayes if he somehow falls at 21? Or, you know, who would you select with? Obviously, Caleb, you stated you would go with the shooter, but if Cassius Winston is there, would you take him, or would you take other guys like a potential Cole Anthony if he falls there, potential Killian Hayes, or potential RJ Hampton?
I would take Cole Anthony if he fell there. He's a playmaking guard. Cassius Winston, to answer your question, I probably wouldn't go with, because he's a guard that could play make and get the ball to everybody else, but I don't know how his jumper is too much. I don't know how getting his own shot is too much. So I need a guard. I think they need a guard who could get some buckets, who could score, who could get 15 to 20, Lou Williams type. Like, not, they don't need a guy that's going to pass the ball and get everybody involved. They got Ben Simmons in that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, Cassius, if he's the best available at 21 and all those other guards are off the board, yes. But if not, and then you got another option, I say go with a guard who can score and get their own bucket.
Yeah, I'd agree with you as well. I would also say go after a guard that's able to get to the bucket. But one name I would say, if he's available, I would definitely go after, is Nico Mannion out of Arizona. I think Nico Mannion could be the sharpshooter that the Philadelphia 76ers need. I feel like, I mean, call me crazy, but I think Nico Mannion has a potential to be a Tyler Hero type player. Where, I mean, we look at Tyler Hero when he fell to number, what was it, the 13th pick in Miami? It was either 13 or 14. But nobody really expected a lot out of Tyler Hero coming out of Kentucky. And yeah. What did he do with Miami? He wowed the Miami Heat so much. In fact, he was in the Rookie of the Year running. Like obviously, you know, we know John Morant was going to win that thing fair and square, but guys like Kendrick Nunn, Tyler Hero for the Heat, they were integral reasons why Miami made it to the NBA Finals, because their young guys step up. I think Nico Mannion has a potential. Now, do I think Nico Mannion will start? No, I don't think Nico Mannion would start because you still got Josh Richardson there. You still got Matisse Thybulle there. But if you want to potentially – if you want to potentially move Ben Simmons to, like – if you don't want to start Ben Simmons at a point guard position and kind of focus him more like a power forward type or a small forward type of position, then you could potentially have Mannion – have that point guard experience, start from there. Or you could just have Nico Mannion come off the bench, kind of be like what J.J. Redick was to Philadelphia, come off the bench and just simply be a catch-and-shoot kind of guy.
Yeah.
Where you just simply, all right, Nico, your job basically on this team, be able to space the floor if you're open, catch and shoot. And just kind of go and kind of go from there. But I will say, if Cassius Winston is the best available at number 21, I would take him. I wouldn't take a chance on anybody else just because, I mean, Cassius Winston was phenomenal in Michigan State his final year there. So only if Winston is – if Winston's the only one available at 21, I would take it. But if there are other players, like if somehow Cole Anthony is still there, if somehow Nico Mannion is still there at 21, I would much rather take those than Cassius Winston, but Cassius Winston would not be a bad plan B. I mean, hell, when we even talked about the Lakers, we would love the Lakers to take Cassius Winston to help potentially be a successor to Rondo in the future. But
there are a lot of good guard options. So, I mean, they're a team that needs to get a guard. What guard they get, we don't know. It's all about how the chips fall, but let's hope they make a good decision in the guard that they do choose. Hope they play making point guard that could. I mean, I hope he can get his own bucket.
Yeah, let's definitely hope they can make a good decision there. And we are going to close out this edition of What Would You Do NBA Offseason with where we think the Philadelphia 76ers could finish. Caleb, last year, the Philadelphia 76ers got embarrassingly swept in the first round. They have Daryl Morey as the GM. They have Doc Rivers as their head coach. If they do what we say they should do, if they take Nico Mannion at 21, if they take Cassius Winston at 21, if they take Cole Anthony at 21, and they bring back the same team from last year, if they don't trade Al Horford, if they don't trade Tobias Harris or Josh Richardson, where do you think the Philadelphia 76ers could fall? Do you believe the Philadelphia 76ers could be a team that could contend for an NBA championship next year? Or do you think they're going to be one of those teams, oh, they can make the playoffs, but they'll most likely be a second-round exit to a better team like the Celtics or the Nets or the Bucks?
Or the Raptors, yeah, with the East being so strong, I think that they should, like I said, they're in the window, so they really got to compete, but they are in a bit of a tighter seat than they were these past 2 years. They had a real chance to win these past 2 years, being that they had the upper hand a couple times. LeBron wasn't in the East these last 2 years. Neither was KD. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit different. And I think with that being said, that it'll be harder for them. I think that they might have to fear going down in the first round. That's what they don't want to do, though. I think if they could get to the second round, lose in the second round, that's what's expected. They got to get to the second round. But they got to fear losing in the first round, too, because it could happen. What do you think it happened? I mean, they're definitely in a tougher seat, bro.
Yeah, call me crazy, but I think the Philadelphia 76ers with Doc Rivers and company, I truly believe they can make the Eastern Conference Finals. I truly believe the Philadelphia 76ers could be a team where a lot of people are doubting them, but they have a playoff experience coaching Doc Rivers. And granted, he did blow a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets just this postseason, but I think a lot of the guys in Philadelphia are going to be hungrier and have a lot of chips on their shoulder. And I think Doc Rivers is going to figure out what to do with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid took too many jump shots if you're Joel Embiid, you got to be like Shaquille O'Neal. Get your behind in the post, post up players, and just dunk on them hard and just bully them. Because what made Joel Embiid so great was he did all that and he topped all the smoke. I mean, we saw when Philadelphia went up against the Boston Celtics the first time, Ben Simmons was talking all the smack. Like, he was smack talking, he was dunking on Aaron Baines, he got the crowd of Philly involved. Like, it was a great time. Even in some instances, like when they were playing the Toronto Raptors, like when Joel Embiid pump fake Gasol went in, windmilled, and got the crowd of Philadelphia rocking, like, that's the Joel Embiid we love to see, where he gets the crowd going. He's all energized. He gets the crowd pumped up. I think Doc Rivers is going to unlock that potential. And I think the Philadelphia 76ers could make a run at an Eastern Conference Finals. In my opinion, I think they have to make a run at an Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. Unless you have to blow the team up. Like, this could be the final year where we see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid together if they don't get it done. Now, I don't think they could win a championship this year. I think there's too many good teams. I think Milwaukee is too good of a team. I think out west, I think the Lakers are too good. I think the Clippers are going to be back. I mean, granted, they did have an embarrassing meltdown against the Denver Nuggets, but they're still going to be there. You got Denver on the rise. In the West, you also got the Golden State Warriors coming back and being healthy. So do I think the 76ers can win the championship? No. But I do believe they can shock a lot of people and make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I know a lot of people are saying the Brooklyn Nets, but keep in mind, we don't know what kind of Kevin Durant we're going to get. Are we going to get the same scoring MVP Kevin Durant? Because when we saw Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles, he was never the same dominant player he once was. So is it going to be the same thing for Kevin Durant? Because I'm going to be honest. If we see the same Kevin Durant in the dominant Warriors NBA Finals run, all hell's going to break loose in the Eastern Conference. Like, the Brooklyn Nets are going to be a ferociously scary team. But I don't know what kind of Kevin Durant we're going to get. Now, one thing's for sure, whenever we do discuss the Brooklyn Nets, I do think they're going to be a team that could compete. But I just think the Nets are going to take this year, Joe, with KD and Kyrie, kind of go from there, which is why Philadelphia will take advantage of that. Because we look at Philadelphia, they've been a continuity kind of team for the last couple of years. Like, they've had the same core, you know, this is almost the third year with the same group of players. So I think they're going to take that advantage and make a run at the Eastern Conference Finals, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I can't argue that. They got to make, like you said, they got to make a run at the Eastern Conference Finals. Can't expect anything less than that from them this year. But I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening in the East for them this year. But that needs to be on their big board. That's the goal. Let's get to the finals. So I definitely agree with you. That's what they need to shoot for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely.
And with that being said, I interrupted Matt. Go ahead and say what you're going to say again.
I was about to say, and that, my friends, concludes the fourth edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition, Philadelphia 76ers. Let's hope these guys take notes, because Caleb and I are pretty wise guys. And I think we set the Philadelphia 76ers up for success. We'll see if they can follow that. But with that being said, Caleb, would you like to shout your things out one more time for the people?
Caleb Conant. Oh, no, my gosh. I already messed up again. Sorry. One, Caleb Conant on Instagram, and Caleb Conant 2 on Twitter. And my LinkedIn is in my bio. You can find everything else right there.
And for my Twitter, it is @ScurrupMatt. Give me a follow there. My Instagram is @Matt_Scurra19. Give me a follow on Instagram there. And that, my friends, concludes the edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. We are out of here.